We're going to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 20, and it reads like this. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, This month is to be for you the first month for your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Have taken into account the numbers of people there are. You are to determine the amount of the lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goat. Verse 6, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, and when all the people of the community of Israel must be slaughtered them at the twilight, then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and the top of the door frame of the house where they eat the lamb. Verse 8, that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, for roast is over the fire, head, legs, and inner part. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is now you are to eat it with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, over that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both man and animal, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is the day you are to commemorate from the generation to come to you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your house, for whoever eat anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. Verse 16, on the first day, hold in a scarce assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Verse 17, celebrate the feast of the unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your division out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as an everlasting ordinance for all the generation to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 20th day. Verse 19, for the seventh day, no yeast is to be found in your house, and whoever eat anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native born. Verse 20, eat nothing made with yeast. Whoever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. We're going to 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verse 7. 1 Corinthians, verse 5, verse 7, it says here, get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sanctified. I thank you for the leading of the Lord's word. And like Kim said, we're going to call Pastor Robert as our fellow leader to come up here. And I don't know if he's ready to come yet or not, but he got a sermon on Christ Messiah is our Passover lamb. Thank you, Pastor Robert, for the reading of the God's word. You're welcome, sir.
As we start this morning, I want to just take a little bit of a backward glance, okay? Last Friday, what did most of the church celebrate? Good Friday. All right. Now, I want to share this morning that I'm going to be talking about some things that the church has not been in agreement with. I do not believe that Jesus died on Friday. I'm going to show you why I don't believe that. But what I want to say is we as a church can celebrate the fact that he died for our sins, regardless what day he died on. We as a church can celebrate that he rose, regardless of whether we agree that he rose Sunday or Sabbath afternoon. I'm going to go through and just share where I am, what I believe the scriptures say, but I want us not to lose sight and not to become argumentative with others, because we're celebrating the truth of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Messiah, the sacrifice for our sins. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to tell you, a few years ago, the Methodist Church here in Pataskala invited me to participate in their Good Friday service as well as some others. And at the end of the service, they took everything off of the altar except for the cross. They then took a black drape and draped it. I want you to see the picture that is there. The picture of the time that Jesus was in the grave. The picture of the fact that everyone was in despair. Think about the disciples at that point. They didn't really believe Jesus was coming back in 3 days. It just hadn't dawned on them. They were in despair. And that's what that picture is. It's a very beautiful picture. I was very glad to have that opportunity, even though I think it happened on Wednesday. Sunrise services. What does the Bible say? It says that the tomb was discovered empty on the first day of the week. Early on the first day of the week, they came. Hallelujah. That's what we're celebrating. Victory. Victory. So, I don't present this morning to try and slam anyone. I just think we need to look at the scriptures, look at what I believe they say. So I want to start with the Friday before the triumphal entry. Now, remember, we're talking about the Jewish lunar calendar here. It's confusing, and that's why it's so hard. Their day started when? At sundown. So, on Friday, Jesus journeyed to Bethany, and we find that in John chapter 12, verse 1. Now, then there is debates, because when you try to put the four Gospels together, it's sometimes a challenge to see what is really going on, and we find that two of them seem to paint a different picture of when that dinner was. The point is, the dinner happened either that night, which would actually have been Nisan 10, or some people believe it was on Monday. But then on Nisan 10, and what did we just read in the scripture that was supposed to happen on that day? The lamb for the sacrifice, or the goat, was to be selected. Did you realize that as Jesus came into Jerusalem, riding and bringing the concept of peace, not as a conquering hero, but bringing God, the kingdom of God, he was presenting himself as the lamb. That happened on Nisan 10. That happened on Sabbath. But it says that he entered late in the day. And so, after that, he went back to Bethany. And then the next day, on Nisan 11, which was Sunday, he came back to Jerusalem, and he was very jealous about the way the temple was being used. He said, "This is God's house. This is God's house." And he threw out the money changers, turned over their tables, said, "This is not where this should be happening, not in the temple." Now, on Monday and Tuesday, I want you to realize that if you look at the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Matthew, there's probably 50 or 60 different things that Jesus did in these 2 days. He was very busy. On Monday, he cursed the fig tree. It said the next day.
Then we find that Jesus' authority is questioned. And then Jesus starts teaching. He talked about the two sons. Which one was the one that was truly the son that obeyed the father? He talked about the wicked husbandman. He talked about the wedding banquet. He talked about taxes. He talked about the resurrection and the great commandment. And who is David's Lord? He talked about the condemnation of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he wept over Jerusalem. He talked about the destruction of the temple. He talked about the coming woes, the great tribulation, the second coming. All of those things are in Matthew chapter 24 through 26. I only did about half of them. Then if you go into John's discourses, he spent some time praying for the disciples right there before the crucifixion. He spends time, and those things are all revealed. Monday and Tuesday were packed full. Jesus was winding up the ministry. He knew his time had come. Nisan 13 was Passover preparation Wednesday. On Wednesday, that evening, he would have had the Passover supper. Now remember, we're starting, Nisan 14 started at sundown. That's when he sat down at the supper. It had been prepared the day before, because sundown is the day. And it's so hard for us, we've never thought that way, to think of the day starting at sundown. So during that beginning of Wednesday, during the nighttime, the Passover supper was celebrated, the Garden of Gethsemane, Caiaphas, Peter's denial, Pilate. He was mocked, had a crown of thorns, he was beat. And then the next morning, still on Nisan 14, at 9 a.m., he was put on the cross. And this we find in Mark 15, 25. Okay. He announced himself, one as the Paschal Lamb. On the 14th, he is put on the cross at 9 a.m. From 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., it was dark. And at 3 p.m., he died. At that time, it tells us that that was the time that the Passover lamb was to be slain. He fit right in with what the type of the Passover was. Have you ever heard about, they talk about the types from the Old Testament? Each of the feasts has a symbolism for us to understand what Christ was doing. He's fulfilled so much of it. Now there's some more to come because he's coming back. Hallelujah. But so many of the feasts were getting us ready for what was going to happen. He, we are told, was our Passover lamb. One of the things that just amazes me is the picture of this cloth. Go back and read how the cloth in the Holy of Holies was made, how thick it was. It's amazing. Read about that curtain. And when he died, God ripped it from the top to the bottom.
It was a cloth that was made out of leather.
I think I thought it was woven cloth. We'll have to refresh. So we'll have to read. But it still was torn. And I want you to think, anything, how many of us can rip a phone book? Okay? I can't even rip a little thin one. But I know some people can. But God's hand. Of course, why would I be amazed? God created this world. It certainly is nothing to rip a 4-inch cloth, is it? But it was the symbolism. He said, I have cleared the way. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Then before sundown, Joseph of Arimathea had gone and gotten permission to take him down. Why? Because it was the beginning of the Sabbath. What Sabbath? Was it the weekly Sabbath? I want you to recognize Passover has two Sabbaths in it, the first day and the seventh day. And they are high Sabbaths, and it doesn't matter what day of the week they come on. Because it changes every year. Because they are working on a lunar moon system. Now, I want you also to realize that because of the fact that they were working on the moon system, and it had to be sighted, and they had to have two people to see it and come to the priest and report that they had seen it, they were always afraid that they might make a mistake because sometimes it's cloudy. When it's cloudy, can you see the moon? So they said, well, we have to make sure that we don't miss the Lord's Passover. So because they were waiting for the day to start, they doubled up the feast. So then we see that there were actually 2 days that they were doing a feast. There are many traditions who still do that today. I found that so very interesting. So, Johnny?
Thanks, Brother. I don't mean to interrupt you. As the curtain was torn, when there's a great earthquake as well?
Okay. There was, you have to go back and read through the different scriptures. And this is the thing, when you're trying to compile them all, it's kind of hard to put them all together and know exactly. But it says there was darkness until the third hour. And I do think now that there was. That's what I'm agreeing that there was. Sorry. Darkness, okay. But we recognize, okay, their hours and our hours are different. So according to our hours, it would have been at 3 p.m. that he actually died. Okay. And that's the challenge when we're converting to our ways from their ways. Now, Nisan 15 and 16, Thursday and Friday, Christ was in the tomb. Now, that meant there were 2 nights and 2 days that he'd been in the tomb at that point. Nisan 17th started with the night, remember. There's the third night. Then came the daytime. And 72 hours, which would have been 3 days and 3 nights, which was the sign that Jesus said they would know him by, which was the sign of Jonah. Now, I also want to point out, there are Hebrew scholars that will tell you any part of a day is considered a day in the Jewish thinking. Okay, that may be true. But back when you go back to Jonah, we see specifically he said he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. So we have to take him literally here because that was his sign. Jonah wasn't in the belly of a whale only 2 nights and part of a day. So what I'm saying is between Friday, which is when the church generally celebrates the crucifixion, and Sunday, you cannot in any way, shape, or form get 3 days and 3 nights. Just can't make it happen. And it said, when he said it is finished, it says the note there was, he had done all that the Father had sent him to do.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All that the Father had sent him to do. So that's why my belief is that Jesus rose somewhere at 3 p.m. or thereafter very soon, because that would have completed the 3 days and 3 nights that he was in the tomb. Nisan 18, the tomb was found empty. Does it give you chills? Think about as Mary came to the tomb. Think about as the women came to the tomb. They were still in despair. Finding the tomb empty, did they immediately say, "Hallelujah, he's risen"? No, they said, "What has happened to him? Someone has stole his body." Still in despair. But our Lord wanted them to recognize the victory, and so he appears to them. And he keeps appearing to them. Because think about it. How hard would it be if you saw someone die to believe that they're standing up? Hallelujah, we hear about that even today. I was so excited when I think it was Brother George came back from Africa and said, "I was there," and they kept praying, and he was risen again. It is so exciting because that is the authority of the Father. He knows. Now, I want to talk just for a moment, and this really ties in with the fact that this is what Christ has done for us. I want us to recognize we still have a battle because Satan has not yet been bound. He is still free, along with all of his dominions and so forth. He says that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan wants. He tries, and this week I was talking with a man who was sharing that he'd been sharing things about Jesus with friends and sharing the truths that the Lord had laid on his heart. And he said, and all of a sudden these guys are all dying. I feel like Satan is trying to make sure they don't get the truth. Today, as Kim was praying, I just felt it. We need to pray for the lost souls that Satan will not steal them before they can be saved. And that he will put it in us to find the ones who need to know the message. That Christ has rose victorious. He lives and he wants to live in each of us. So while these are the details as I see them, let's not lose sight of the message. And I don't think we need to fight with anyone. We can simply say, well, I think that the events happened a little differently, but I'll celebrate with you. You're celebrating the same thing I'm celebrating. The sacrifice and the victory over Satan. It is finished. It is finished. Amen.